We're good? All right. Well, pretty much what people have shared this morning, what Phil started out with, is kind of right where I'm at, you know, and what you're saying about taking different roads. I'm a big different road taker just because I don't like riding the same way all the time. Don't laugh, Mike. But it's amazing how... Let's just pray real quick. Lord, we thank you for these moments that we have here to lift up the name of Christ. We ask that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, amen, lead us in the right direction and that we bring praise and glory to you. Amen. I want to read a scripture out of the Old Testament, just real quick. It's Lamentations, and you guys probably know the story better than I do, but... this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And I just think that's so great. You know, living that, I don't know what year that was written, when they read it. I was one of those things I just was reading and it struck me, and how appropriate it is for today. You know, the mercies that we live under. And I heard my dad say, I don't know how many times to me, it's because of his great mercies that we're here today. It's because of his love for us is why we're here. So I just wanted to read that. And I want to speak a little bit about separation. Things being separate in our lives, how God separates things. And how I got on it was... the guy, I really like a couple people in the Bible. I like Obed-Edom. I love his story because God just rested in his yard. He didn't do anything, and his life flourished. He didn't try to move him. He didn't try to shift him around or give him to somebody else. He just let God flourish in his life. And he became a doorkeeper to the temple. And all he had to do was open the door and let people in to see God, to see Christ. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the one who changes our heart, who brings separation in different things in our lives. And for him to show that to me, and with my mom and dad being gone, I'm allowed to share things that I wasn't allowed to share when they were around. And I was given permission by my dad, because a lot of stuff, he says, Rick, they won't understand. You think it's a great miracle? People go, you did what? And it's the truth. I've noticed that, because somebody came up to me the other day, was talking about somebody, and I'm listening, and I'm going, wow, that's all they did? That's not too bad. You know what I mean? I thought, wow, great. The Lord really changed their heart. That's a good thing, right? And so I'm reading in the scripture in Matthew 13:1, and it's about Jesus, and he's sitting outside the house. He's sitting by the seaside. And so we have a pond. So here I am again, out there sitting by the pond, looking around. Right. And what did that's 13:1. Right. And he's by the water, you know, and I'm thinking, man, you know, Christ would just, what was he taking in? His creation? All he created, you know, because that's, you know, you guys understand. That's what I was taught. God created everything. Just look at it. Watch. You'll see him. You'll see him. But it's always backed up in the word. It's not without the word being along with it. And I thought about Christ sitting there, and then a great multitude, right, in 13:2, gathered around unto him. And he started, you know, talking to people. But then, again, all of a sudden, Christ gets in a boat and backs out into the sea. He didn't stay with the group. And I go, what are you doing separating? Why are you getting away from the people? I'm thinking, why are you doing that? Why would you want to be away? Why, you know, figure Jesus is, you know, here. He wants us all. He wants a relationship with us, because that's what it's about anyway. But here Christ backs his way out from the sea. You know, he goes on the sea, gets in this boat, and he does these things, right? And so I started looking. Once again, my interest goes, as Jeff said this morning, you get interest about something, you start chasing it. So I start looking through the Bible of incidences where things were separated. I thought, isn't that amazing? You know what I mean? Here we go again. I'm thinking, wow, here we go. I'll find it, and I'll start looking. I'm looking at these different things, right? And so I go back to the beginning, and to me, the beginning is in Genesis. Genesis 1, right? And God, what did he do in the beginning? He divided light from dark. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Right in the beginning. He's already separating things. So it can't be bad, right? My next thought was, well, it can't be bad. We got to separate. There's a good thing there. There's something good going on in that separation. Right? And I'm looking at him going, why? He divided the light from the darkness. You know? And then my next thought was this. I wrote it down was, you know, has he done this in my life? Has he separated light and darkness in my life? So I start reading and I'm looking at different things. And you all know that I came to the Lord. It's been over 20 years ago. But I was a believer my whole life. I always believed in Jesus. I never doubted who he was. I never doubted none of it. You know what I mean? We never did we, Patsy? Well, we've been in some places you wouldn't think we were believing in Jesus, but we did, didn't we? We never doubted. I would throw you out of a party at my house if you said you didn't believe in God. When we were partying, I'm talking partying. And I'd have people throw you out of my house. You don't believe in God? Out of here. You got to get out of here. I can't have that. And what do you mean? How can you live and not believe in God? And I wasn't living for him in any remote way. But we knew that it was real. We knew that it was true. So I started looking into my own life about how I started separating light and dark in my life. And how he started doing these different things. So I go back in there. And then what did he started separating, like even the light and the dark. So then we have the sun comes up every day. And then it becomes dark in the evening, right? And God did that. Then I got in the ideal. Just think if we were in control of that. You get up. Well, I don't know what time you get. We'll say 6 o'clock. Well, I don't think the sun should come up till 7. Some people, well, the sun needs to go down. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I need it to be darker. Can you imagine if man was in control of light and dark? When I start thinking about what's going on today, look at the stuff we're being fed. Look at the difference, right? Look at the difference in between what God was doing and what the world is telling us. Even back a long time ago, but even today, I started doing it. I'm thinking, man, what is he doing in my life? See, it's not about fixing you or fixing them or fixing Phil. What's he doing in my life? And that's how I look at everything. I wish I could read the scripture and go, well, that's for Doug. I'll call Doug. He needs this. But it doesn't work that way for me. It ends up being, he's working in my heart. He's showing me stuff that, and then we can be examples to others somewhat. And that's hard for me to say because my family knows things about me and the way I act. But I'm not always that bright and shiny morning star guy. So it separates things. And so things get separated. But I even read in different parts about even people can't change the color of their skin. That's a scripture. And we're having a lot of arguments about those kind of things. You know what I mean? But there he is. A leper can't change his spots. Right? Well, isn't that amazing? Right? But if you read that and you keep looking at it and those different things that can't be changed. And I thought, wow, that's amazing. That I cannot change myself. And that's what I started looking at. That's when I really started focusing in on what he's doing in my heart. And I started looking at different things. And then I want to, Paul in Romans says, how we separate things. It says the apostles are called, right, to what? Be separated unto the gospel of God. So I've been saved. I'm not saying I'm an apostle, but I am to share Christ. And we're supposed to share how Christ makes a change in our life, how he changes us. I can't separate myself from anything. Like I said, my whole life, I believed. I partied as hard as you could party, and as if anybody could, and I could never separate myself from it. I went to all the meetings they required me to go, and every time I got in trouble, I had to go to this meeting and go meet this guy and go meet. It never worked. Never worked. I had a drinking problem since I was 12 years old. I used to steal beer from a neighbor down the street. And all my entire adult life, I drank as much as I could drink. And people never knew I was buzzed sometimes because I was so good at it, I could drink four or five before I got there. And nobody knew. And I would wait till I would leave. and lived like that. I couldn't separate it. I couldn't change myself. I couldn't do anything about it. There was nothing I could do. Anger was my hold. I got so angry so much. You all know Betty Jane Langwell. I used to take her house down to the beach and spend Christmases alone because I didn't want to be around people or spend holidays alone. I'd go on vacation by myself because I couldn't handle certain situations. So you guys might remember, I used to have such a violent temper. My dad came to me one time and said, Rick, I don't know what to do with you. I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, you're going to regret it. You're going to be in jail for life one of these days for something that you do. He said, I want you to start running because you can't get it out of your life. You can't drop it. Nothing works for you. Prayer's not working for you. Me going, me and your mom, everybody, it's not happening. You're crazier than you've ever been. When you lose your temper, you lose it so quickly. And one time I was in a store getting some medicine. They didn't want to give it to me. And I destroyed the whole place. I wouldn't share that if my mom was here because I don't want to embarrass my mother. But I would get that mad. And I'd be that violent. Right? And my dad said, run, Rick, run. So I started getting mad and I would run. I'd stop my car and get out and just run. And run and run and run until I couldn't even hardly breathe. And it would go away. It worked. We found a solution. So I had to run. How's God going to separate these things in your life? How's He going to do it? How's He going to separate from whatever has been in my life? It's my whole life. Right? There's no separation. So you got to remember now, Jesus gets on a boat, He goes out. Right? Another thing God divided in the beginning, He divided water from water. Right? So I've been trying to divide water, different ways. Pouring it in different things, using a knife, using a thing, doing all these things, trying to separate it, but it always come back together. It always come back together. And God divided the water from the water, and in the middle of stuff, He's forming stuff the whole time. Every time He's forming stuff. So in my life, and then when I accepted Christ up there at Joshua all that long time ago, I was sitting up there in the back. And He started separating things in my life. He started bringing a change. What was holding me all my life was starting to move. And I started seeing something in between. Oh, what is that? What's the difference? Wow, what's happening now? Wait, there's a break. Wow, I can see it. What's He forming? What's He doing? What's He doing? You know how much He loves you? Do you understand how much He loves us? He's starting to separate things in my life. He's starting to show me. Because we just accept Him, He's going to start dividing light and day in my heart. He's going to start dividing good and evil in my life. He's going to start forming something in the center of my life. Just as He did the world. I'm a picture of the world. You're a picture of the world. He starts working. It's not idle. It's not just because God wants to do something and all that kind of stuff. It's not. He's separating things in your life because people. I had somebody share something with me the other day that I did that I didn't even know affected them, that made them think different towards the Lord because of something that happened to me. And I shared a testimony with them like 12 years ago. And they just told me the other day, you say, remember when that happened? Right? And the other day, Patsy even brought up something about when Grant died, how we went and looked right away. We didn't go looking, how are we going to recover? We went looking for Christ in that tree. And what did we see? Grant, Christ. And without that separation of that anger in my life, without Him taking alcohol out of my life, the drinking that I did and all that, He was separate. What's He forming? What's He forming in your life? What's He building in there? What's He doing? Why is He doing this? Why is He showing me the difference between good and evil in my own life? I'm thinking these things. I'm working. I'm doing stuff. And we're working. I don't know where he is. Daniel back there. That's a good kid. That Daniel's a good kid. Let me tell you. And he's seen me get aggravated. He's only been around me a little bit of time. I get aggravated quick. You know what I mean? And I just, don't bother that. Don't touch that. Leave that alone. I'll get it. You know what I mean? Real quick. And the other day with Patsy, I went to see Patsy. And I was saying such shit. I walk up and she said something. I lost my cool. And I just, and they all say, well, your words are crazy. So I walk away. I don't have to run. The rage is gone. Say, the rage is gone. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between disagreeing and being aggravated than having this rage that controls your body, that controls you to where you can't even be around people. See, Christ sets us free, setting us free when he's separating us from things. See, when he steps out of that boat and he gets on the boat, he pushes away. One day I was down working somewhere and I heard these voices, clear as a bell. I could hear everything they were saying, and they were on the water. And their voices were carrying across the water. When he backed out away from those people, it was not to get away from them. It was more people can hear him. He could share the word. The word carried across the water. His words were being watered by the Holy Spirit. Right? And that's what he was doing. He was finding a way to reach more. He wasn't separating to get away from people. He was getting so more people could hear. So more people could gather because they could hear about the name of Jesus. And we're not hearing the name of Jesus today, anywhere. Not on any kind of media of any sort or anywhere. You're not hearing it. We're not hearing about him. We're not hearing about the great healer and, you know, and how he brings these separations when he's forming something good. Now, when he was forming in the beginning of time, what was he doing? He was making a solid earth. He was making earth. He was making the heavens, and he was separating that and the land and the trees and all those things. He's bringing life into you. He was bringing life into the world. When he separates you from things that have been holding on to you your whole life, he's bringing life in there. And where's that life lie? In Christ. He's forming Christ in the center of my life. So people can take a peek. Well, Rick, you still got an attitude occasionally, but we can see that Christ is being formed in your life. He's separating us from our sin. And then it gives you a clear picture when you're walking around. In today's time, it's not hard to pick out. Right? There's good and there's evil. There's good and there's evil. Right? And then we share Christ. We share the goodness. We share what he's done. We share how he's been doing. It's different than the world. We totally think different. It's no joke. Everybody knows it's sitting in here. Phil said it this morning, kingdom of the earth or kingdom of heaven. Right? And the kingdom of heaven is including everybody. They want everybody in. Right? And on my street, I'll use this as an example. We have, 26 houses. Every type of person lives on our block. We have young people, old people, black people, Hispanic people, transgender people. We have policemen. We have Mr. Bill Timmons, one of our stay-holes there, one of our good people. And all the good people, and everybody in there gets along. We're not having all the rage and all that kind of stuff going on. You know what I mean? So it's not really true all we're hearing. There's stuff happening. I'm not lying about that. I know that. I'm not no idiot, right? But at the same time, there's a lot of peace in this world. And that's what we got to start looking at. That's what we got to start sharing. Look, I'm getting along with these people here. We're not best. I might not agree with I was going to call you Jay, but we might not agree 100%, but there's a way because of Christ we can get along. And we need to distribute that to other people. What is God building when we're seeing such an open thing, right? He wants us to share Christ is in the center of all this stuff. God is in control of all these different things. It's not like he doesn't know what's happening. It's not like that God is surprised and, what are we going to do? And we're worried to death and the fear. It's a joke. The fear is a joke. You shouldn't be fearful in Christ. I'm not fearful at all. I'm not saying not to wear your mask if you go in somewhere. You believe in doing all that kind of stuff and want to do those things. That's not what it's about. It's about the fear that they're trying to, whatever the word is, push on you. Right? It's not about, there's no need to fear. Because if we keep looking, we start looking into who Christ is. Right? And what does Christ have control over? Life and death. Right? See, that's what you got to start looking at. All my things I think about and all that kind of stuff. When it gets down to it, right? He died. The scripture now, I got it in here if you want me to prove it. He died and rose again that he would have power over death and life. He just didn't die for no reason. So there's a difference, life and death. Two separate things. But who's in the center? Christ is in the center of all things. He is the one we need to look at. No matter what's happening in your life, if you have death in your life, right, or you have life in your life, whatever you have going on, Christ is in the center of it. He doesn't just disappear because things are bad. He doesn't just go away. How encouraging it is to know that He laid His life down for us so He could be in control of all things. It even says in some parts that He went to Hades and got the keys to life and death. Right? He's in control of all things. This is no surprise. This isn't worriedness. This isn't fearful times. Right? This is time to lift up the name of Christ and say, hey, wait a minute, people, you're missing the point. You're missing it. You're missing Christ. You're missing out. You know what I mean? And I don't mean by like running down the road screaming. If you feel like screaming and running and jumping out of your car when you're on those streets, do it. But way we're living, how we're reacting. Are you scared to death as a Christian? No. Are you walking around, you know? And then when you go in, I put my mask on when I go in to buy. I can't get anything if I don't. But I go in. But what's the attitude? What's the attitude? Are you fearful? Nah, man, I'm just strolling. Nothing's up. Nothing's happening. God's in control. And I love knowing that. I love knowing it. I'm for sure of it. There's no doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind. And this is happening all around the world, right? And I don't know why I went back here to Genesis this far late, but that really got to me about how He separated water from water. That's a long thought to me. I mean, I just can't do it. I'm at the spigot. You know, I am on that way. I do it over and over. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, man, I'm even at the pond. And I'm, oh, man. We're cutting down weeds the other day. Last week, me and my sister, and we're cutting all this stuff down and all that. And I'm thinking with that little thing, you could hit down in the water, you know, and it would spread the water apart and all that. Now, there's another thing I didn't know. We know that Moses went across and the waters divided. There's a separation. And what did it do? It set a whole bunch of people free. Right? Set a whole bunch of people. When the enemy's trying to kill them, God provided a way. Why are we fearful? There's no need to be fearful. But is it Elijah or Elisha that had the mantle around him and he touched the water and the water and they walked over? I didn't know that. I didn't know that till 2 weeks ago. I've been hearing that story. I always know of the whirlwind, how he was taken up in the whirlwind, and Elijah got the, and then when he got the mantle, he went back over to the water and split the water again. There's another dividing of water. And then the Jews, when they came to the river Jordan, the water backed up. There's another dividing of water. It wasn't just one time. These are not, God can do this stuff all day long if He wanted to. And in your life, I hope the waters are divided. You think the enemy's behind it, but let me tell you, Christ has made a way. And it's through Him dying on the cross. It's for Him laying His life down that we don't have to live in fear. Right? And the world is different than what we think. They're fearing you, man. They're doing it. They're putting it in people. I see people scared to death. And I'm like, what, man? Wait. You know what I mean? Because we don't fear the death part of it. That's good or bad, but I don't fear it. I lost my son 18 years ago, coming Christmas. And I had people come up to me and say, oh, Rick, what did you do wrong? I'm not kidding. My family knows it. What did I do wrong? Christians, I'm not talking non-believers. I'm talking believers. You must have did something. I said, well, what, did Christ die? I thought Christ died on the cross for my sins. You mean I got to do it again? Are you telling me I got to do something again? You got to be kidding me. I've been separated. I've been set free, man. What are you talking about? You know, what do you mean? Wait, Grant, Christ and Christmas forever linked. You're missing the point. He's risen. They rejoiced in heaven that day. Amen. The angels were singing, right? Get out of here, man. Don't talk to me like that. I'm not living in fear. That's 18 years ago. So today, this is an easy walk. Serious business. It's an easy walk. He wants me to share. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. I'm not saying be stupid. I'm not saying that kind of stuff. But don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. He's in control. Where are we at, Jamie?
3 minutes.
All right. All right, I want to make a couple more points and then I'm going to wrap it up then. I want to, the mount figuration, trigger, how do they say it?
Transfiguration.
They go up there And they're up there, and then they see Elijah and Moses with Christ. And Christ is all shiny and bright and everything. And that story is amazing to me. I can't imagine being, you know, go somewhere, then all of a sudden, well, there's Moses. So I had to figure out how those guys died. I had to figure out where Moses died and how he was buried. I had to find out because I want to know, like, Elijah went up in a whirlwind. I don't know that he ever died. So I was checking to see if Moses, I know he walked up into the mountains, but I did find a part where it says, if I got this right, God buried him himself. Have you ever heard that? So I did read it right. Right? God buried Moses himself. Imagine that, God burying you. He actually put his hands on him. Or however he did it. But there he is taking care of Moses. He didn't get to go in the promised land. What? He got to be buried by God. How bad is that? Come on. Really? Really? I'm like, I've had people say that over the years. You hear stuff, you know. I'm like, ah, that's, you know, but I'm reading, I'm going, wow. So there they are. But they go down. When they come up, who's there only? Christ. The others are gone, and Christ is standing before them. Now, when you go down, and you have all these distractions and all this nonsense you're hearing, I want you to come up and just see him. Look at who he is. Look at who Christ is. Look how he died on the cross for you. Look at all that he's done for you. Look at all that, right? Because in, here we go. I finally got where I wanted to be. I've been waiting to get here. I really want to just do the end and go home, to be honest with you. Because I have a hard time explaining how I look at everything. But anyway, he does all that. And then, I can't change myself at all. Self-help doesn't do me, right? But Christ started doing a change in me. See, that's the incredible part. Let him do that work in you. Yes. Boy, is that Charles Baker? Look at me. I can't stand it. And you're like, wow, because that's what happened. When he started doing that work, it's not even hard. You know, the life is free. It's a great life, right? And, you know, it doesn't mean you're... Some things like anger and drinking were immediately gone in my life. Immediately. Other things aren't gone. Here I am, working on it. Here I go again, God. I'm back. But does he quit? Does he give up on me? Does he ever stop being faithful? Like in the first scripture I read. You know, they're always faithful. He's always faithful to me. And sometimes it blows me away when I sit in my back room and I'm back there reading and I know, I'll say it, I know I'm in the presence of the Lord by myself. It tears me up to think that he would visit me. Straight up, why he would visit me. That's amazing to know. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, right? The creator of all. The same guy that buried Moses wants to visit his spirit, visit with us. No different. He wants that personal relationship. That's what he's forming when he's doing this work on me. And I start to see a separation. What do I see? It ain't me doing it. It's Christ doing the work. And you start looking. That anger goes over here. I'm still Rick. He does a work in you without destroying you. Isn't that amazing? He doesn't like rip you apart. You're a jerk and you're this, you're that, right? He starts moving it away. He starts separating it. He starts letting you. It blows me away to think that that's what he's doing. He's forming Christ in our lives. That's what he wants us to see, that he's forming Christ in our hearts. Okay, I'm going to do this and then we'll quit. Look at Christ. If you can see, I hope I've made some sense here today. I hope I did. Look at Christ, born a baby. Think of that. Born a baby by a virgin, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That same spirit is the same power that's in my heart today. The same thing that was dropped into Mary is the same thing that's dropped in my heart today. It's the exact same thing. Exact same thing. Then you see him as a 12-year-old kid, off and teaching, doing his thing. You know, people are amazed. He's only 12 years old. Then you see him as a 30-year-old man flipping tables. Me and Gavin had a good time with this one. You know, and he's in there flipping tables and he's cleaning out the temple. Has he ever cleaned out your heart? You ever had some stuff just flip right up? Some things he just changes. But I want you to look at him. If I could say anything to anybody, have you known him as your teacher? Right? In Luke 11:1, teaches us even how to pray. You want to know how to pray? Look to Christ. You talk about bringing separations. You talk about doing things. And he's separating things to form more him. It's not like a separation that you can get out of doing something. Oh, I don't have to do that. God separated me from... Nah, it's not. It's about more of him being formed in you. When they formed that world, it was about him showing you how he's going to form in your life. Those are the things he's doing. Right? Do you know him as the healer? Right? He's a healer. Right? It says he's a teacher, a healer, and a preacher. These are all scriptures. The Savior of the world. Do you know him personally as a Savior? That's where we got to go. We need to be sharing him to other people. I don't mean running out and be crazy. But if somebody asks me, I got you. But if you don't ask me, and I get that from my dad. People say, your dad's a minister? I never knew that. But if you ask him, you were his. He had you. But if you didn't ask him, he might not say a word to you. But they would say, he's a different kind of guy, isn't he? You know, and everybody always talked about the way he would be disappeared. You know, like, dad, just be gone. You know, and kind of went out that way, didn't he? He'd say, tell everybody I'm in the back porch of heaven waiting on you. But there we are. And as a friend, Christ as a friend. Do you know him? People need friends. People are messed up, man. People are lonely. People are sad. People are angry. They need a friend that laid his life down for you. And Christ is that friend. He's separating these old stuff in my life so I can see all those things. I see him as my teacher. I see him as my healer. He's separating the waters. He's separating stuff in me that needs to be separated so he can be formed. He wants to take on his image. Those are the things. And then in Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, and he does not change. The change is happening in me. God's no different. Christ is no different. Things, he's stable as he can be, right? Jesus is the same what? Yesterday and today and forever. He's doing the same work. It's not a different work. I know I'm talking about when he created the world and split things, but in my life he's separated things. He's changed things because we have a relationship with him, and it's that simple. He just wants a relationship with you. He just wants you to know him. And how do we find him? I don't like to tell people what to do as far as your personal life, but we need to be reading this more than we're looking at our phones and our TVs and our all the information. Get your real information. One time, do you remember telling me about people that study the fraud on dollar bills? They only learn a real dollar bill. They don't study fraud. Read the real thing. Get to know the Bible. Get to know Christ. Not what they're telling you is right, but what the Word is saying. It's different than what the world's preaching. There's peace in here. There's harmony in here. There's things. And you see the separation in the world right today? Man, they are trying to push fear and hate and all this kind of stuff. All kinds of groups. Not any particular group. A lot of people. Well, I'm not picking one group. I'm saying a lot. I stand around and go, what? What are you mad about? What's going on? You know? And I don't see it on my block yet. Everybody's friendly. I'm not saying it won't ever happen, but everybody's friendly. Right? And then James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. From the Father of what? Of light. The Father of light. We're not living in darkness. This world's not in darkness. God still rules. Christ is still King of Kings. He's still head of all this. How can we see anything else but? How can we even try to think that we have to worry? Right? The grass withers. The flowers fade, but the word of what? Of our God stands forever. Do you know that? Put that kind of stuff in your heart. That's scripture. That's not me saying that. I don't know nothing. I don't know anything. I just know that he touched my heart over 20 years ago and instantly took stuff out of my life. Started making separations happen in my life that I could not ever begin to do. Have you not heard the Lord is the everlasting God? Everlasting. This is not part-time. This is not just for a little while. This is forever. God is in control forever and ever and ever. No doubt. No doubt. This is what I'm supposed to be saying. When people ask me a question, I trust in the Lord. You know what I mean? I even tell people when they ask me stuff, I say, do you really want to know? Do you want to know the right? Do you really, or do you want me just to give you a nice answer? Do you want to know? Well, here's what I think. I think Jesus loves us, and I know it sounds religious. I don't want to be religious to you, right? Because it's not about religion. It's about a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. And it's that simple. We look to him, and I'll do two more. And this is one we all know, and I think this is what the world needs. This is basic. For God so loved the world, what did he do? He gave his only son, that whoever believes, you know, shall not perish but ever have everlasting. Whoever. Doesn't matter. Everybody on my block is entitled to the Savior. He died for every one of us in every situation and every heart that we have. Doesn't care what your heart is. He died for you. He's the one that would bring the change. He's the one to start separating things in your life to form Christ in your heart. That's what he's doing. He's separating water. He's forming Christ. He's separating you from things. He's forming Christ. Things in your personal life. Those are the things. All right, I think that's good. I think that'll work. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you step in and separate us from ourselves. That we can start to see you in an everyday way in our lives. That's every day. In Christ's name we pray and we thank you. Amen.